when I've learned to really honor my energy levels and like honor how I operate, I feel like I'm so much more impactful, so much more creative, so much more happy, you know? Mm. And so I think it's been about like, how can I really like use my energy in a way that really allows me to just like really show up so fully when it's time to show up, and prioritizing kind of that, even if it's not showing up like that all the time. And it's giving myself a lot of space and time for rest.
Welcome to the Alpha Female Podcast. I'm Robin Pino, formerly known as Baldwin, an essential oil educator, blogger, author, yoga teacher, MS thriver, and newly twin mama. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a show that will inspire you to embrace living like an alpha female. We'll guide you to create more work-life harmony for yourself, discover tips and tricks to achieve your goals and dreams, all while taking the best care of yourself. Now, on with the show. This show is brought to you by doTERRA Essential Oils. As an essential oil educator, I partnered with doTERRA in 2016 to diversify my income with them. I was drawn to the oils a few years before when I was diagnosed with MS and gifted an introductory kit with lemon, peppermint, and lavender essential oil. At the time, as I was learning to live with MS, I knew I needed to get better quality and quantity of sleep. So I started using lavender in my Epsom salt baths every night to signal to my body that it was time to go to sleep, and the rest is history. I educated myself on the potency, purity, testing, and sourcing practices and discovered the company's heart of gold. So I'd like to do the same for you. I send out samples to anyone who has not yet tried doTERRA oils and you don't yet have a shopping account with them. So find me on Instagram. My new Instagram handle is at Robin Pino, and that's P-I-N-E-A-U-L-T. Send me a DM saying I'd love to try some oils, and then let me know one health pain point you're trying to solve. Send me your shipping address from there, and then I'll pop a care package in the mail for you.
You are listening to the Alpha Female Podcast, episode 202. All links and show notes can be found over at robinbaldwin.com/podcast. Today on the show, we have Erin Claire Jones. Erin uses human design to help thousands of individuals and companies step into their work and their lives as their truest selves and to their highest potential. Her work as a guide, coach, and speaker has attracted a growing community of over 120,000 people who turn to her teachings for practical tools, digestible tips, and deeper self-knowledge they can access to live with greater ease and authenticity every single day. Her work has been featured in Forbes, Mind Body Green, Well and Good, and Nylon. Words shared on over 100 podcasts such as Almost 30, That's So Retrograde, Highest Self, and Chatty Broads, and now the Alpha Female Podcast. And she's had conversations with crowds of hundreds around the world. Erin's insights are highly sought after because they make human design pragmatic, tangible, accessible, and immediately applicable to everyday life. Human design is a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science that sheds light on a person's energetic makeup, as well as specific tools they can use to live at their happiest, healthiest, and highest potential. It doesn't change who they are. It teaches them who they are. It offers insight into what's possible and highlights the significance of understanding and living as the fullest expression of themselves. By putting this tool to work in her own life, Erin is showing the world a new way of work, a new path towards success, and a new perspective on living as you truly are. So when I asked my Instagram community, who should I get on the podcast to talk about human design, I heard over and over again, Erin Claire Jones. So I was really excited. I reached out to her first and she immediately said yes. And as we learn on the show, she's a projector, just like all my other guests. And so she needed to be invited in, and that was really exciting for her and exciting for me as well. So this is our last conversation in the human design topic series. I think you're going to absolutely love it. So let's get right into the show.
Hi, Erin. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited for our chat. You are rounding out my topic series on human design. You are our last guest on the show. And I was so excited when you said yes. I'm curious, before we get into the questions, since we're talking about human design, what is your energy type?
I'm a projector.
You are a projector.
6-2 with an emotional authority.
Every single one of my guests has been a projector.
Oh, I know. Projectors are very drawn to human design. Like one kind of like hallmark of being a projector is like really loving systems that help us understand people and how they work. So it's, you know, there are a lot of people beyond projectors that are into human design, but it's a very natural system for us to master and get into.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So I always ask my guests, since this is the Alpha Female podcast, what do you think of the definition as it stands today? And that's a, like, I've written it. I've had guests that have edited it and different listeners that have added to it. So I read it out to you before we started, but what do you think of the definition?
You know, I love the definition. I think what I like most about it is that I think that it's a reminder that like, it's so powerful to be driven and ambitious and like do what we dream of. And it is so important to like feel good doing it. Like, I just feel like, and human design is the tool that I use to support people in doing that. But I feel like I've worked with so many clients and have seen so many friends who've like achieved so much, but also done it in a way that has burnt them out entirely. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when I explore human design, it's very much through the lens of like, how can you actually like build the things you want, but also do it in a way that feels sustainable to you. So I appreciate the just like acknowledgement of that. And also the acknowledgement of doing it in a way that feels authentic to you, even though it might look like entirely different than the people around you, you know? And I think that we need that reminder that like success and satisfaction and like how we build our businesses can look so different from one another. And the more we honor and lean into our own way of doing things, the better we'll feel. And also probably the more success we'll find.
So I'm actually quite interested. I have to do like a survey of my podcast listeners and people that have been following me for a while, but I'm very curious to see how many of them are also generators, as I am one. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if like a generator really kind of has been drawn to this alpha female terminology. Because my next question is always like, how are you an alpha female? And my last guest was like, I don't resonate with that term, but I resonate with your definition. And like, that's like, I've been before alpha female became like a very popular term in terms of like man eater, like just before it became popular, I've been working with this kind of brand since 2009, which feels like a lifetime ago. And you know, over the years, my guests and my listeners and, my social media community have all kind of like created this definition, and it's not what you see on a typical, you know, alpha female post on Pinterest that's being shared around. So let's lean into that. So how, based on the definition and kind of all of the things that we're encompassing, how do you see yourself as an alpha?
I think that like, I definitely don't identify as like an alpha female in the traditional terms. I never have, but I think that like, what allows me to feel, I guess, like just the most expressed leader, and I guess an alpha female according to your definition, is really about like leading and building a business in a way that feels really aligned to me. And that's honestly looked a lot like asking for support. You know, I think when I first started working, I was like, I've got to do everything. I've got to be great at marketing and sales and like all stuff. And then I was like, I'm actually like not great at that stuff. And like, it's okay to like hand those things off, you know? So I think that like, I've definitely found the most success by just like leaning into my lane and partnering and supporting on the rest. And I think that like allowing myself to be supported has been great. I also think that like, it's been really paying attention to like where I'm at my most effective energy wise. And what I like, you know, the projectors before me have probably talked about, part of being a projector is like honoring the ebbs and flows of your energy and not doing all day long. And I think when I didn't have that work-life harmony and I was like doing all day long, I just like wasn't as impactful as a person. I wasn't as creative in my content. Like, and I just think when I've learned to really honor my energy levels and like honor how I operate, I feel like I'm so much more impactful, so much more creative, so much more happy, you know? Mm. And so I think it's been about like, how can I really like use my energy in a way that really allows me to just like really show up so fully when it's time to show up, and prioritizing kind of that, even if it's not showing up like that all the time. And it's giving myself a lot of space and time for rest.
I love it. Do you partner with a lot of generators then?
So my fiance is my business partner and he is a generator. My business partner before that was a manifesting generator. And it's, so I don't think that's like the only requirement, but I think that like, that's been really good for me, you know? And like, and my job in our business is very much like to be great at human design, you know? Mm. And he really handles all the operational stuff in a way that really is nice for me. So yes, It's a great partnership. Generators and projectors are manifesting generators and projectors. And again, like they all can be such powerful partnerships, but they bring such different skills to the table. And I think they can be in ways that can just be so like, just so much synergy and so much compatibility.
Yeah, I love that. My my first podcast guest is a duo. It's the Luscious Hustle podcast ladies, and they're a projector and a generator duo. So
it's great.
Yeah.
As long as you honor how different you are. If you try to be the same, it'll be very disappointing, you know, for any of us. But I think when you understand the differences, it can be really powerful.
Yeah. So my last guest, I booked a full like family reading with her. So I'm married to a manifester, and we just had twin boy girl twins, and they're both projectors. So I'm like, please tell me all the things of how I need to like support this partnership.
Yeah.
Because it's
and you being the only generator in the family.
I have to really learn to like not require the same energy that I have of everybody else. So that'll be very interesting. Yeah.
But also in the same way, having your family really like value your energy and not like throwing everything on your plate, you know? So it is just like, it's a balance. I grew up in a household with no generators or manifesting generators. I had a manifestor mom, a projector dad, and a manifestor sister. So it's just so funny looking back. I was like, we have no generator energy. And like, it makes so much sense looking back. But the family stuff is so powerful. I'm so glad you did a session on that. I think that's often one of the more powerful applications of human design.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so let's take it back a notch for someone who may be tuning into this episode and they haven't heard some of the episodes before. How would you describe human design to someone like brand new to the conversation?
So human design is a system based on your exact time, date, and place of birth that really reveals your energetic blueprint. And what I mean by that is how you're wired to make decisions and work within teams and collaborate and parent and partner on all the things. And I think so often with human design, I am rarely telling people anything that they don't know. I'm just giving them like a language and a framework for things they have always felt, but like never really allowed themselves to step into. And I think human design is such a reminder that we are all meant to do things differently. And the more we kind of like honor our differences and flow with that, the more success and satisfaction we'll find. And the more we try to be things we're not, the more resistance we'll experience. And it's an endless, endless system. There's so much information, but I think what drew me to it is how actionable and grounded and practical the information itself is. Like it doesn't just give us information. It very much gives us tools to work with that information and actually integrate it into our lives.
Yeah, the first time I discovered it, and as I've been diving into it a little deeper with these last few podcast episodes, it just like the statement in my head that keeps repeating itself is, it's giving us permission to be who we were before the world taught us who we should who we should be. And it's that permission slip to actually show up as your authentic self, because I built that into the definition of an alpha female. Like an alpha female shines when she's authentic, but so many things have been thrown at us over the years that like, do we even know what authentic to us is, or is that like a constant search or journey to discover, peel back the onion layers?
And one thing I'll just add is that often when I'm sitting with people, like they'll recognize their human design in the way they were showing up when they were five. They were like, when I was young, I was like expressing this so purely. And then like all this conditioning layered on. And I really like just didn't allow myself to really step into that. So I think it's actually such a reminder of that. And then it like, it does take some work to just like really like throw off all those layers of who we thought we were supposed to be and step back into who we are, which again, which is why it's so cool that you're doing this for your children, because you're basically giving them that permission to be who they are from like day one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's interesting. I haven't really gone back to think like what type of generator energy did I have when I was younger. The thing that has really resonated with me, and I'm assuming it might be for many generators, is that, my default for so many years has been workaholic, overachiever. And I've told the story on the podcast before that my grandfather passed away. I was late 20s, probably like I just turned 30. And in his celebration of life, we celebrated all of his accomplishments and titles and jobs that he had had over the years. And I had no idea all of the things that he had done. And I was just like, holy cow, like I got to stand up to this legacy now. Like I got to get to work and like started really throwing myself into like achievements, wanting like the checklist of wanting to have titles and awards and all of these things. And, you know, burnt myself out, developed an autoimmune disease. And then I was just like, oh, okay, step back. And, it was actually my diagnosis with MS that has taught me to take so much better care of myself and actually slow down. And now as I learn more about my human design, and, you know, I have the ability to say yes to so many things because I have a crap ton of energy, but should I? And that's where I'm really leaning into. So, it's kind of, it's interesting to like peel back all of those layers as I learn more because, I'm just kind of, I'm noticing and very self-aware of like what has caused me to do certain things because it is part of my energy type, but how do I then take a step back and say, you don't have to do all these things?
Yeah. And it's so much around where things are motivated from. Like we all have an aspect of in our design, which speaks to how we're designed to make decisions. And for you, it's so much around like, you know, just like your gut feeling and what lights you up and what excites you and like what you have the energy for. And that's meant to drive everything. But like, we also all have areas that we can get taken off track. And for you, the biggest areas are like trying to prove yourself and overachieve and also trying to like figure out the one thing that you are. You know, it's like, I've got to find my purpose and I've got to have like this identity and this identity. And like, so for you, those are actually both never meant to motivate you. Like you're never meant to like say yes to prove your worth. And you're also never meant to say yes to like latch onto just your identity and like your one purpose, because like in reality, you're actually so much bigger than one purpose. Like you have so many different parts of you that want to be expressed probably over the years. And also like, you're just not here to prove a thing. Yeah. So it just like, it can be useful to be like, okay, what actually is meant to drive us? And also what are all the areas that probably are going to try to drive us? And how can we cultivate the awareness so that we don't give those areas power?
Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. Cause like over the years, you know, I've worked full-time in marketing my entire career. And I have a network marketing business with doTERRA selling essential oils. And then I have, you know, I'm the podcast host of the Alpha Female podcast. And then I teach people how to take better care of themselves living with an autoimmune disease. Like I jump on these things and I'm like, I say yes to them because I have the energy to do it. It lights me up. But there's been so many times where I'm like, I am doing so many things when I try to explain myself to someone, like I can't, it's just like, totally. I do this.
Right. And like, this is what feels good right now. And maybe in 6 months it'll be different. And like, I got a free space for that too. So yeah, I think I can imagine that like, it might be hard to wrap it all up in one because there's so many parts of you that want to be expressed.
Yeah. So when I talk to like a coach or someone that's like, you need to pick one thing and you need to niche down. I'm like, sure. Okay.
No, thank you. I have no
idea how to do that.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. So how do you guide people towards leadership goals with human design? I noticed that on your website and that fascinated me.
Yeah. I mean, my background before I discovered human design was very much in the entrepreneurship space. I worked for a lot of different startups. I studied entrepreneurship in college, like specifically impact-driven business. And I think that I just had a lot of like experience where I was working with like amazing people with amazing missions, but it just felt like people like didn't really know how to work together. Like it just felt like there was some level of dysfunction. And like, I've always been a person that people like vent to. So I just was like, why, you know, people just like, aren't really like leveraging each other. Like there's so much potential here. And so when I discovered human design, I so immediately saw its application of business and how we could use human design both to lead in a way that felt authentic to us, but also how to manage and support people that are very different than us in the same way that you parenting a projector, it's like also you managing a projector will be very different than you managing a manifestor. And so I think with leadership, it's basically helping people tap into what is their most authentic form of leadership? Like what's going to feel the best to them? What kind of support will they need? How do they need to be communicated to? Because I think there's sometimes such an assumption that it's like, it's just like up the hierarchy that we then become a manager and a leader and all these things. But like some people aren't lit up by that, you know? So I just think it's really helping people get clear on what form of leadership is going to really work well for them. And like, I think any type can be a leader 100%. It's more, and I think any type can be anything. It's just about how we do it in a way that actually feels good to us.
Do you work with like corporate clients, or do you find you work more with like small business entrepreneurs?
It's both. A lot of small businesses for sure, where I can like work with the entire team, but I also work with a lot of bigger companies, and it's usually like a team within that will kind of be diving in together. I think that like I assumed a lot of skepticism when I first started. I was like, oh my God, is this too woo-woo for the companies? But I just think that like, you know, people are more receptive than I thought. Like, I just think that people are very curious to like learn about how they work, and they're really open to a tool that supports them in doing that. And I think that my approach to human design is very much like, this is not a belief system. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. Like, this is a tool. It gives us a language to think about how we operate. Like, take what feels useful, leave the rest. I think it kind of gives people like, it's a playground for them. It's not a thing where they're like, oh my God, I have to be this thing. But I do think, as you probably experience, like, I think that even when people are resistant, they're like, but it all resonates so much. So tell me everything. And I don't want to believe it, but I do. And like, so it's just so funny. But I think that I really try to give people the space to just like choose, like, this feels good or it doesn't, you know, and not try to be prescriptive or put it on them in a way that feels like just to makes them feel limited in who they are.
Yeah. I wonder why I have such an obsession with like the personality tests or communication styles. Like, in one of my first marketing jobs, we did the DISC personality test, and I was like, "Ooh, this is fascinating." Okay. And then I've done the Gallup Strength Finder test, and absolutely obsessed with how they teach, you know, work within your strengths. Like, stop trying to fix your weaknesses. They're a weakness for a reason.
Yeah.
And then like when you layer on human design, it's very fascinating how my top five strengths in my Gallup test are so like in tune with my human design. I was like, oh, these are making sense now. Yeah. Cause I think I got them. So doTERRA did this for all of their senior leaders, which was so amazing. And we did the test, and then we went to a leadership convention, and we all had our top five strengths on like a name badge. And mine are input, learner, significance, competition, and command. And I was like, why is competition and command there? Like, it took me a while to really understand those, and also understand like, how do I use those in business or building a business or like in my day-to-day corporate job? And I'm starting to figure it out. But it's still something that I probably want to layer a little bit more with my human design. So, and I also don't know, what is it about my personality that loves discovering more about myself? Like, same thing, like when Enneagrams, everyone was talking about that. It's like, ooh, let's do the test. Human design. Ooh, let's do that. Like, it's just like, I just get so excited about these things.
So fun. You're not alone, you know? And honestly, that's like a hallmark of being a generator, is just like wanting to like learn about yourself, you know? And like, and for projectors, like, we can want to learn about ourselves, but we also like love learning about other people, you know? So I just think that like, there can be this nice balance. But I do think that like, and again, that's why I think that I've found resonance with teams, is that even if people are skeptical, they love hearing about themselves. They love like learning different pieces. So like, I just think that like, that stuff is really fun. It's really useful. It's really tactical. Like, I just think that, so I still feel you, you know? And it's very cool, I think, to explore these systems that also just help us better understand how to work better together, you know, and bring us closer together in that way.
For sure. So talk to us about your blueprints and one-on-one sessions. What would someone expect from those offerings?
So I think with all my offerings, and this is just my vibe in general, like, my intention is really to make human design like just as practical and empowering and accessible as it can be. Like, I went through a very traditional education, and like, I loved it. And I just think there are a lot of ways that human design can be communicated in a more empowering way. So I think that like, that's definitely the vibe of everything that I offer. The blueprint is like my hallmark. It's kind of the centerpiece of what I do, but it basically is, we just updated it. So it's now a 50 plus page written guide to your unique design that is really kind of walking you through all the key pieces and offering suggestions, tools, examples, and like how to work with it. It's like basically meant to be like a book to you, you know, and you don't need to know how to read the chart. It basically is like, how can I extract the most important pieces about your chart and like deliver them to you in the most accessible, empowering, useful way, so that you have like a resource manual to your design that you can keep returning to. Like, I have people that bought theirs 3 years ago that like keep going back every month, you know? So that is it covers all the most essential pieces. It's, you know, it's very in-depth and very accessible. And then I also offer private sessions, and I won't be doing these for so much longer, but I still love them so much and learn so much from them. But, and those can be used for individual sessions, partnership sessions, family sessions. And that really is an opportunity to kind of just like talk through it all, you know, and really apply it more practically to your life. I actually call these sessions not readings, because like they're not super standard. It's not like, okay, let's go through your type, your strategy, authority. Like sometimes that's 100% what we do, but like other people like might be like, I want to talk about my kids, or like, I actually really want to talk about this like career decision, or I actually have all these questions about like a very specific part of my design. So I think that it really is about how can you use human design in a more practical way. And so my sessions are very much trying to meet people where they are and offer the pieces of their design that are most relevant and useful to where they are.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so I haven't done the family session yet, but it was,
oh, cool.
It was neat how Nadia last is setting it up for us. And in it, she asked, like, what questions do you want to know? I was like, oh my gosh, so many, but I'll focus. And so, yeah, it's nice to be able to say like, okay, well, what do you want to get out of this? It's been really helpful having these conversations on the podcast so people can learn like how they can apply human design to everything from, you know, I'm using it to how can I communicate better with my husband? How can I support my kids as they grow up so I never stifle their energy? Like it's things like that. You know, I've got 1 year old, so like I've got total blank slates, in terms of guiding them as a parent. So, I was like, okay, let me focus there because I could ask so many different things.
But, totally.
It seems like there's such a massive world, and I love that you're put together these, you know, these blueprints that someone can come back to, because, you know, we've only scratched the surface in these podcasts with like the most popular things in terms of a design, but there's so many things. And I think that's why it's fascinating. It's, you know, I love learning, and I love like, because the top two strengths are input and learner. I'm like, oh, give me all the details. It's like, okay, slow down. Like, what do you want to take from this right now? You don't need to learn the entire system in this moment.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's a good reminder for people, because human design is endless. It is a lifelong study. Like we can be experts and there's always more to learn. Yeah. But I think that, you know, the most like applicable information is often at the surface. So while it might be tempting to like learn every single detail, like I also think like just knowing your type, strategy, authority can be incredibly transformational, you know, and you can always go back for more. So I think that human design is very much meant to be a system that is like experimented with and embodied, not just one that's like learned and intellectualized. So really making sure that like you're practicing it and living it, because that's where it's obviously going to have the most impact.
Yeah. Awesome. So we talk a lot on this show about how alpha females take care of themselves. So how can someone use their human design to implement healthy habits?
Yeah, I think that one, I think probably the best one is just around how we use our energy each day. You know, I think like for generators and manifesting generators, and I'm curious if this resonates with you, like we all need rest, of course. But often generators and manifesting generators are able to like really rest when they've like fully used up their energy throughout the day in ways that feel deeply satisfying. And then they can like drop into bed, like exhausted and fulfilled, and like sleep soundly and wake up energized. But like, if you haven't used up your energy in ways that excite you, you might go to bed and just be like restless or depleted and like not be able to sleep. So I think like really making it a practice to prioritize your own joy and excitement and use it up can often like allow you to like rest the most deeply. And I think in the same way that we would advise generators and manifesting generators to like do what lights them up and what excites them, like it applies to wellness practices as well. Like if you're super into Kundalini, go for that. You know what I mean? If you love running in the morning, amazing. Like it's just like what brings you the most joy, the most energy, the most expansion, and really kind of prioritize those. Yeah. There are going to be a lot of more specific elements or design in terms of whether or not it's good to have more discipline and structure when we're kind of more in the flow. So, but just like on a type level, you know, that's important. Before I go on to the others, how does that resonate with you?
I'm like smiling because I'm giggling inside, because in my first episode with the Luscious Hustle Ladies, we were talking about generator energy and that if you haven't expended it by the end of the day, like how do you? And we were joking around because sometimes like I literally have to have an orgasm every night if I haven't gotten rid of my, or if I haven't gotten rid of my energy. And then there's some days where, I put the babies to bed at 7 and I'm done. Like I collapse into bed and I'm, you know, scrolling social media or watching Netflix because I've expended all of my energy for the day and I just don't have any more. Mm-hmm. And then there's others, like last night, my husband and I had to adult quite hard. We're doing a bathroom renovation. So like the babies go to bed, he's painting, I'm organizing taxes because he's getting audited. And like, we just did other things. And then all of a sudden it's 9:30. I'm like, oh, perfect. It's bedtime. And I can just crawl into bed and I'm out like a light. But it didn't feel like too much. Like I didn't hit the burnout phase. So there's, it's interesting to watch how I hit that phase earlier than others. And I'm also layering on the moon cycle. So right now, you know, we're coming into the full moon on Sunday. So I'm at like my peak energy. You know, during the new moon a couple of weeks ago, like I was on my bleed. So like I had nothing and I was collapsing the minute I put the babies to bed because I had, I had exhausted it. So it definitely resonates with me.
Yeah. But, and again, like it'll be different for each one, you know, not all generators are going to be the same, but it is like, how can I use up my energy in a way that feels satisfying? Mm-hmm. Where you drop into bed, you're like, I just like, I feel so fulfilled by like what I did, whether it was like taxes or painting the bathroom or working with clients, you know, like it can, satisfaction can show up in so many ways. I would say for projectors in terms of caring for themselves, like so much of being a projector is like unhooking from this idea that like the harder you work and the more you do, like the better you'll be. It's very much about trusting that your gift is not in how hard you work and how much you do, but it's like in your perspective and how you see. And it's really about learning how to honor the ebbs and flows of our energy and not trying to do all day long and like really finding spaciousness in our days. Like if you're a parent, giving yourself time when you can, which I know is not always possible, to kind of pull away and rest and be in your own energy. So I think as a projector, it really is about carving out as much time as you can to rest, you know, to study, to learn, to explore, to nourish yourself, to be alone. You know, those things can be really powerful. I'd also say sleeping alone can be really useful, I think, for all of us, but probably especially projectors, reflectors, manifestors. But I think I've heard it true for so many generators as well. Yeah. As a way to just like really disconnect from everyone else's energy and reconnect to yours.
Oh, interesting. When we were in the thick of it with the babes, probably around like the 6 month mark, my husband was home with us, and I had done like night times with the twins by myself for the first 6 months, and I was burnt out. I was exhausted, like hardest part of my life so far. And then when he came home and no longer had to go to work every day, we decided to do one night each. So I would have the babes one night, he would have this. So we have a school bus turned into an RV, schoolie. And the person who was not on duty would get to sleep on the school bus. And it was just like delicious. We were both like, like this is so great. We love each other. But like, I am so excited to sleep alone on the bus tonight.
There's so much stigma around sleeping alone. And I just like, it's such a powerful practice. And I also recognize it's not always financially feasible or even desirable. And it's really powerful, you know, when you can, maybe it's going to bed earlier, waking up later, like sleeping on the couch one night, but like having that own energy is just a way, especially for you, like you're a generator with a lot of openness, a lot of sensitivity. So like think of sleeping alone as a way to just like discharge and disconnect all the energy that's not yours and kind of just wake up in your own space and in your own energy. It's not bad to impact each other. We do that inevitably all day long, but like having that reset time can be powerful. You know, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is what I'm like, all I can think about is my two projector babies sleeping in the same room. Like they're in separate cribs, but they're both sleeping in the same space. Yeah. And what's fascinating is one of them,
the same design.
They have the exact same design, even they're 12 minutes apart. But I was looking at like our little girl can sleep through anything. Like she's out like a light, sleeps through our little boy cries. Like there's no end in sight. And we've had to do sleep training with him. But like at like the slightest noise, he's awake and she's just still like dead to the world. So it's kind of fascinating to see how they kind of exist in each other's worlds.
Totally. You know, and again, like it's so interesting because they have the same design. So it's not like they're like impacting each other with all this stuff because they both kind of like put out energy and take an energy very similarly, even though they're probably going to be quite different. But yes, I mean, if there is potential for them to have space at some point, that could be useful. But of all the possibilities, maybe having twins in the same space could actually be nice because their design is actually so similar. And then I would say for manifestors, you know, taking good care of yourself also is all about honoring the ebbs and flows of your energy. Like manifestors can make so much happen so quickly, and then they need to like rest and take space. And often like space alone, time, rest is what kind of creates space for the new idea, the new inspiration to come through. So making sure they're not getting lost in the doo-doo doing, which is very tempting. And also like manifestors can be like very spontaneous. Like I think that like allowing themselves to like pivot and change and just like honor what they have the urge for is really great, you know? And I think so much of feeling good as a manifestor is feeling free and feeling autonomous and feeling in control of how they do things and when, you know, so making sure that like they can release the terms in a way that feels good. And then for reflectors, it's actually so much about, I think taking good care of yourself is around being in spaces and around people that feel really good. Reflectors take in and magnify the energy of wherever it is that they're around. So just being so ruthless about the people they're spending time with and the spaces they're spending time in, I would actually say that to you as well. But I think for reflectors, like they just like magnify their space, which means like around amazing people that, and amazing, I mean, people that uplift them, like that will uplift them and feel really good. And in a space that feels toxic or, you know, things they can really not feel good, there can be a real lack of well-being. So I think, you know, for a reflector, making sure the spaces feel good and also that they're taking kind of plenty of space and time alone as they need as well. So there's so much more underneath that, but that's just kind of a little bit of a taste of kind of like things you can do to feel a little bit better.
Would a reflector, if they aren't like really grounded in their design, would a reflector kind of see like watch someone on Instagram with like a crazy morning routine and be like, oh my gosh, I have to do all of those things? Like that doesn't feel good to me. Is that typical of a reflector?
Yeah, well, reflector energy, like they really like they mirror back and magnify the energy that they're feeling. So you're right that like if that person's super excited about their morning routine, they might like take on that excitement and be like, I'm going to do it too. This is amazing. I'm so excited about it, but it's really their excitement, you know, and then they might try to do it and then it like fizzles, you know? And even like, I've seen so many reflectors, like, you know, be around a human design reader or anyone. They're like, oh yeah, this is amazing. Like, this is my purpose too, you know? And then they might like 2 weeks later be like, actually not mine. I really loved your excitement though, you know? So I just think for reflectors, like you are so like gifted at tapping into so many possibilities and so many ways of being. And I think what's important for you is like really paying attention to like the interests and the things that stay with you over time and not the ones that are just like there in the moment, you know? Because again, you magnify other people's excitement, which is amazing. And having the discernment to actually like check in on whether that thing is yours or theirs.
Now, so does that have to do with someone's like open and close, is that the right terminology? Open and close centers? Because I have aspects of that and I'm assuming it's based on my open and close. Like I get super excited about stuff and I'm like, let me do it. If it feels good. So I respond. But then I'm like doing a million and one things and I'm like, I really don't want to be doing a million and one things. And then I have to edit. So
totally. So this is about our open and defined center. So the areas that are white in your design are the areas that you are the most sensitive and receptive to other people's energy. And these are the areas where you like taken the most, but also where you can get the most taken off track. Mm-hmm. The areas that are colored in or defined in our design are the areas that we project out our energy. So reflectors of every single center open. But like you said, you've got a lot of centers open. So it's very easy probably for you to get excited by somebody's ideas. Like you're really open in the inspiration idea. So it's like, they're excited. You're like, I'm excited, you know, or excited by like their sense of purpose. Like you might be like drawn to how they're expressing. You're like, I want to do that too. Wait, that's not actually mine. Yeah. And you're also such an empath. And so you might also really be amplify someone else's feelings about a thing. Like, you know, I don't know your partner's design. Do you know if they're a manifestor? He's a manifestor.
He's a manifestor. Yeah.
But sorry, is he emotional?
So if he is grumpy and he is like reserved, I'm grumpy. Like, but if and also he absorbs a lot of my energy. So like if I come into a room in a bad mood, he immediately is in a bad mood. Like we just like suck each other's energy.
Magnify each other. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing to be aware of in partnership because again, because you're such an empath and obviously I don't know his design, like if somebody has a lot of feelings about a thing, it's like very easy for you to amplify their feelings. Mm. And then you might walk away and take space and be like, I actually don't feel that thing. Like, you know, that actually wasn't mine. Like it was just an amplification of where they were. So again, having that awareness of like, where are we most sensitive in our design and where can we most easily get taken off track so that we can just like make sure those things aren't guiding us.
Mm. Yeah. So important. I feel like, and I'm sure there is, but I feel like human design relationship therapy needs to be way more of a thing than actual.
Yeah.
Like we've done couples therapy, but like this is just such another element that like when you have like I feel like you would have way more aha moments with like human design relationship therapy than you would have with like the standard way that people do it. Yeah.
And there's, I think that like, you know, and there are benefits to all of it for sure. You know, like I have a therapist, I love traditional therapy, even though I hated it forever. But like, I think that like, there are definitely benefits to it all. But I will say that like the magic of human design is just like, it's so useful in relationships because it basically is giving you a language for things that you've always felt. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I see why this thing is happening. And I'm actually no longer going to take it personally because I see exactly what's going on, you know? And I think that it kind of like surfaces where you might have tension. It surfaces like where there's harmony. Like it literally surfaces all of it so that you can just like, it becomes very clear what's going on. And like, and I think that, so that's super useful. And I also think that we can get really tripped up in partnership where it's just like, we have an expectation that someone's going to be more similar to us or different than what they are. And I think human design just like gets us so clear on what those differences are so that we can just like honor them. Like I think if my partner and I were expecting similarity from each other, it would be like very disappointing. But the fact that we like know how different we are, like he's a quick decision maker, he's a generator, I'm a slow decision maker, I'm a projector. Like we're just so different in every possible way. He wants to go into the details. I'm like, I just don't even care. You know, like I think like, it's just, those things are like, they're fun now because we just like, we get to balance each other out rather than kind of making the wrong for not being more similar.
Yeah. There's some like amazing things. And like, now that I know my husband's type, so he's a manifestor, and he came to me, this was like in the thick of like the first 3 months of me taking care of the twins, where like, I barely knew which way was up. And he's like, I want to buy this property and do this business. And then we can do this business and this business and this business. And I was like, yes, but wait, I need to figure out how to be a mom first. And then I can help you build this business. And he does this all the time. He's like, what about this business? Like he's constantly thinking about these things, and he'll come to me because he knows that I have the energy to then make it happen. So it's, it is really interesting to kind of see how that works. I can feel like this will probably come up in our reading, is because I have crazy amounts of energy and I'm like, the running to-do list is always happening. I'm like, I need you to take out the garbage now. And he's like, can I do it later? I'm like, no, I need you to do it now. And he's so amazing. Like if I ask him to do something, he will get off of the couch and immediately go do it. But I know that there are so many times where I can see this like pause and he's like, do I really have to?
Well, yeah, I think also like manifestors are like not here to be told what to do. And so like telling them to do a thing now might not always be great. Like it could just be like, the garbage is full, I'm going to leave the room. You know what I mean? Like letting them be like, I'm going to choose when to respond to it and how. Like, so I think that like manifestors are so much about like not telling them what to do, but more just like informing what the state of things are so that they can kind of like engage as they do. And like, I don't know, again, his design, so I can't speak specifically to this, but one aspect of your design is that you project your stress out into the world. Yeah. It basically, you also got like a beautiful ability in your design to like handle stress and pressure and remain calm. And sometimes it can build up and just bubble out, you know? Yeah. So you might feel stressed and your husband's like, oh my God, I feel like so stressed, you know? So I just think that like, I would say for you, when you're feeling super stressed, like it's a really good time to like sweat and move your body and like just like let it move through, knowing that there can be a potential impact on the people around you.
Yeah. And we do this all the time where like it'll bubble up and over. And he's like, why didn't you tell me 5 things ago that you were starting to get stressed so we could have addressed it before it got to the bubble stage? I'm like, I know, I gotta get better at that. Like he's very observant. And he's like, things are always better when we talk it through and you share. I need you to share. Like, I don't want to be like, I don't want to feel like I'm a broken record, like constantly sharing or nagging or complaining. So I let it bubble up. And he's like, but then where does that leave us? I'm like, yes, I know you're much wiser than I am.
Mm-hmm. And it's like so interesting because manifestors, part of their strategy is to inform and like keep the people around them like in the loop of like, I'm leaving, I'm coming home late, whatever it is, like just like keeping the people in the loop of their decisions. But it's a reciprocal thing. And like where they thrive is like when it feels like you're also keeping them in the loop. You know what I mean? Of like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going on. Like, this is what I've decided to do, you know? So it is just like keeping each other both in the loop actually creates so much more, I think, ease in the relationship rather than kind of like letting those things build up.
Yeah. Awesome. So, this is a very open-ended question, but, let me try to focus it a little bit more. I always ask my guests, what are you most passionate about? But let me see if I can frame this in a way, like, what are you most passionate about about teaching human design?
Yeah, I think that I am most passionate about just like, I think human design gives people permission to be who they are and also like really instills a deep trust in themselves, you know? And so I think that I am most passionate to use human design to like give people permission to be fully who they are, to really trust themselves and to feel a sense of possibility. You know, like my framing is always very positive because like, I think every design is pretty epic, like in the, when we're really living the potential of it. So I think just like letting people know how powerful they are and like letting them know exactly how to step into it in a way that's going to feel good to them. Mm. But I think it is like, it's a very hopeful lens. Did you watch the documentary on Walter Mercado, the astrologist?
Mm. No.
It's called like, and I'm forgetting the name of it. I didn't even know him when he was an astrologist. I think he was in Puerto Rico, but like, it's just like his vibe is so much, just like so much hope, so much love. And it just like really like so many people just like fell in love with him because of that, you know? And so I think it is really cool to watch these practitioners just like share things through a lens of like possibility, because I think that's where human design can have the most impact, is like letting people know it's possible, not like letting them know like what's wrong with them and like that things aren't possible. It's like, it's all possible. And like, here's how to do it in a way that is going to feel the best to you and the most authentic and the most aligned. And mm-hmm. So a very long-winded way of saying like my passion is really like using human design as a really empowering, supportive, practical tool in people's lives.
Mm, perfect segue into the next question. But what is one piece of advice you would give a 20 something, like trying to figure out who they are in this world?
Yeah. Learn your human design. If yeah. you're drawn. But I think that honestly, it would be just a reminder, whether or not you choose to dig into human design or any other system, that you're just like, your path might look really different than those around you. Like, I think we often just need the reminder that like we're all built to do things differently, you know? And so in terms of how we market, work, you know, collaborate, partner, parent, like I said, all the things. And so I think just knowing like really trusting what feels correct for you and not necessarily always modeling off the people around you, unless it feels really inspiring. Mm. And just like leaning into your uniqueness and know that like things are often going to be the best when you actually just appreciate how unique and different you are and really step into that.
Mm, I love it. All right. Last question, my favorite, because everyone has such a beautifully different answer, but what is your definition of happiness?
Mm. Definition of happiness. I think that like happiness for me, my partner talks a lot about trust and kind of building trust in all the ways. And I think that I feel like I'm the happiest when I feel like really in trust with myself. I feel like really in trust with those around me. I feel really in trust with the world, you know? And so I think it really, and that same as like just feeling deeply connected to myself, deeply connected to the people around me, like deeply connected to my work and purpose in the world. So I think just feeling that sense of like in trust and feeling that connection, I think that's often what makes me feel the happiest. I think when I'm feeling disconnected, distrustful, isolated, that's often when I'm not feeling so good.
Hmm. Where's the best place for people to learn from you? I discovered you through Instagram, so I'm guessing that's the best place to hang out.
I share a lot on Instagram, Erin Claire Jones. My website's erinclairejones.com. I've been on a lot of podcasts, so you know that's often a great place to find me as well. And also I'm happy to offer a discount code for the blueprint if you like for your community. Would you like that?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'll put in the show notes too.
Okay. Is there a code that you like to use, like Alpha?
Yeah, let's do Alpha.
Alpha. Code is Alpha. But yeah, I'm Erin Claire Jones everywhere. I share a lot on Instagram. So if you're curious to learn from me, that's a great place to do it.
Awesome. Amazing. Thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Have you downloaded the Work-Life Harmony worksheet yet? In this free guide, I walk you through how to optimize 5 key areas of your life so that you can start designing your own work-life harmony. So from nutrition to supplements, sleep, stress management, and reducing your toxic load, I share tips and tricks that get you thinking on how you can optimize your life currently. So I ask you simple questions that just get you to rethink different aspects of your life. I walk you through a prioritization exercise so you can figure out which area of your life you actually want to maybe overhaul or tackle or just make small changes in first. So you can download that over at bit.ly/work-life-harmony-worksheet, all one word, bit.ly/work-life-harmony-worksheet. Thank you for listening to the Alpha Female Podcast. Be sure and visit robinbaldwin.com, that's Robin with a Y, B-A-L-D-W-I-N, for access to show notes and other amazing blogs. If you loved this episode of the Alpha Female Podcast, be sure to head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review so more amazing alpha females are able to find this content. It's so very much appreciated that you take this small effort to help this show succeed.